This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
It's really happening.
It's really happening.
Georgia.
Hey.
Hard start.
Karen Kilgara.
Just go to sleep.
Let's get comfy.
Let's just relax into what we're about to do, which is our new podcast, My Favorite Murder.
Let's get cozy and comfy and cuddle up and talk about murder.
Talk about the thing that makes you feel most romantic. Murder.
We got a fire lit. We're having some hot cocoa.
I'm swirling a brandy around over my head. No, I love this topic.
I do too.
And that's why we're friends.
Yeah, we've talked about this for a long time about true crime and what our favorite ones are. Because that sounds creepy, but...
That's who we are.
That's fine.
I feel like we were at a party and something along this topic came up, and that's how you and I were both shoulder grab moment.
I remember which one it was.
What was it?
It was The Staircase.
Yes.
Everyone's favorite, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And because we were at a party and a girl we were there with, Erin Dewey Lennox, she has a photo from prom of herself on that staircase.
No.
You're shaking your head now.
No, I'm just freaking out. Oh. I didn't see that.
Oh, you
did?
Did
I?
I thought
Are you talking about Matt's Halloween party last year?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God. So she was friends with that family in high school.
Holy
and so, before it happened, there was prom. She went to prom with the daughter, her friend, photo of them in their prom dresses on the staircase.
Oh, my God.
On the staircase of the staircase story.
Unbelievable.
I know.
What does she think? What's her opinion?
I think she thinks a bird did it, which I think is the stupidest thing I've ever
heard. The owl theory?
Yeah.
No.
Right?
That is made up as hell.
Everyone watch The Staircase and then laugh along with us at the owl story.
You know what's funny is I just recommended my sister's best friend, Adrienne, who's basically like my other sister,
right.
grew up with. I told her we were going to do this. Mm-hmm. And the second I said it, and I did not know this about her. I've known her since I was 12.
Oh my God, I love it.
She goes, oh, well, Night Stalker. It has to be Night Stalker first and foremost. And I was like, wait, I didn't realize you had an opinion about this. She's like, oh my God, I love serial killers. And I was like, what? Like, she was always the prissy girl.
Yeah.
And like not prissy, but just, I just thought I was so weird and perverted all my life for loving this topic so much.
And you can't tell anyone because they're going to think you're psychotic or like into murder, which you're not. You're just like fascinated.
By the idea, the whole concept.
Right.
So that was awesome. And then I said, you have to watch this series. You'll freak out.
Yeah.
And she's been texting me updates as she's watching it. Like, can't believe it. Just all emojis.
I love it. So basically, go watch it. But this chick's husband fucking killed her because she found out that he was having like a child molester or something, right?
No. He was having an affair. He was like paying for male prostitutes.
Right. And she found out like right before he murdered her.
I mean... That the owl playing into that makes it seem more unlikely when you know about the male prostitutes. It does. It throws a wrench in the works a little bit for the owl.
It throws an owl. It throws a male prostitute into the thing.
It throws a live owl into the works. It's so crazy. But I understand there, you know, there's people making the argument that like he got railroaded because of the male prostitute thing,
right?
And painted a picture of him that wasn't real or whatever. But that's still bullshit because you can still kill your wife and be railroaded and
totally
have Southern people be biased against you because you're secretly
Southern people. Aren't they tolerant of
the Southern? And I'll be intolerant by saying all Southern people are intolerant, but it's absolutely true across the board.
There you go.
That's what we're about. Big, big facts and truths. Yeah.
So stop listening now if you can't handle the truth and facts.
Or spoilers like the guy killed his wife on the stairs.
Like a dude, like...
It's not a mystery.
I don't think a spoiler is ever the guy killed his wife. Because that's like, yeah, the kind guy killed his wife.
Yeah.
It's like a spoiler is that an owl did it.
That's exactly right. Good point.
So we're going to... We're calling this My Favorite Murder?
I thought you were going to say, are we recording this?
So do you want to start?
Wait, is this what we're...
Should we start? My Favorite Murder, and it's going to be real fucked up. And Dustin brought up a great point that we might be inviting a murderer into our lives by doing this.
I mean, but here's the thing, and this is why I'm so fascinated by this topic in general. We might already know a murderer.
Oh my God. Like, probably.
Probably. And in that way where they're just in a very cat-like, removed Dexter way... Just observing all this with a kind of, they think they're smart.
Yeah.
How
isn't
sweet.
That cute and quaint? Yeah. I mean, so I guess the disclaimer is please don't kill us because we can't do this podcast anymore.
And another part of that disclaimer could be partly like we kind of are fans, not of murdering people.
It's like we're your friends.
I think what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
I wish you'd stop it.
Yeah. But you probably do too.
You do too. We know. We've seen the specials where you talk about wanting to stop and not being able to stop.
Definitely.
But at the same time, like the level of planning. I mean, I got here 15 minutes late and this is something I want to do. Like their shit is together, those serial killers.
The thought of like, for me, it's like you got away with it. The thought of getting away with something like that is insane. And the fact that like the rest of your life, you're either worrying constantly that you're going to get caught or you're a sociopath and you just don't worry about that shit.
Yeah. Which wouldn't that be great?
Oh my God. It would be so great.
I mean, right now I'm pretty sure I have 2 unpaid parking tickets. So I live in constant, will I get the third and a boot in front of people I know?
Right.
It's constant and it's tearing me apart.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great that the only thing you have to worry about is getting caught for murder?
For murdering many people that part their hair down the middle. Or whatever your preference is.
Ted Bundy.
Am I right, girl?
Did I just spoil your favorite murder? Don't tell me.
No.
So like,
no, what you did was pick up on the reference I was dropping.
Oh, I got
like
this.
An expert.
Oh, I fucking got this. This is why we're friends, is because we love murder.
Murder and the one time I was stoned at a party and decided to tell people one of the worst things I've ever seen. I made people blanch and walk away from our circle, and Georgia moved closer with the wide eyes she has right now.
What?
Going, oh my God, this is amazing. It's when I don't know why I did it. I do. This is part
of my
problem.
Oh my God, tell me. I love it.
I think it was at that same party.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me what had been going on lately, and it was right after I got back from South by Southwest. Uh-huh. Or not right after. For some reason, the South by Southwest...
The car accident.
Car accident came up, and my big brag, which never pans out as a brag, I always think it is, like, how fascinating about me, and no one ever agrees, is that I was there when it happened, and I didn't see it. My back was to it. I heard it.
Tell everyone what it was.
Oh, sorry. At South by Southwest 2 years ago, a guy was in a police chase, and he turned up a street that was cordoned off for people to mill about because it was a festival. And so all the people standing in the street in front of the theater where X was playing got plowed down.
Old punk rockers.
Yeah. And I had been standing last
in
line to get in. So I would have been the first person hit, but I decided to walk away.
Fuck. Good for you for being like, fuck this shit. I'm over it.
Yeah. Because you know me and lines and waiting and how I don't go anywhere or do anything. So I walked away to see my friend at the front, like, hey, let's just stand out here and listen to the music. The car comes. People fly like cardboard boxes. I tell this story in groups of people, and people are literally, like, bumming out hard.
And I had just read about it that afternoon, and I was like, oh, tell me everything! Because that's my, like, car accidents are another thing. I've had 2 ex-boyfriends and one best friend die in car accidents.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. 2 ex-boyfriends. They were ex-boyfriends at the time, but they were important ones, you know, from like high school. Ugh. Died in car accidents. one, my best friend from high school died in a car accident. Don't drink and drive, you guys.
That's horrible.
I know. So, like, I'm just fucking want to hear all about it. And I'm also big on, like, anything could happen at any moment and you'll never know about it. Like, I don't sit near a window at a restaurant because I'm like, a car is going to come careening through the fucking window and kill me.
Sure.
So that shit to me is like, tell me everything so I can avoid it.
Yes, that's what all this is, really. I just want to collect information and hear theories and stories so that I can be braced so that when I see the weird, you know, that the one thing's out of the knife block,
totally.
I'm ready.
Totally. Like, why is there an open soda can right there? I didn't open that.
Well, I don't drink Pepsi Light.
No. And also, I feel like a law of physics is that, like, the more you know about something, the less likely it's going to happen to you.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Does
Absolutely.
That make, that's got no bearing in science.
It's not scientific. It's spiritual.
Okay.
It's more of, it's the secret revert in reverse. Get it away from me.
My secret hope is to not get murdered.
Yeah. Yeah. My secret hope is to murder the woman who wrote the secret.
That's a great. That's beautiful.
I'm doing it for everybody.
So should we, we want to start with a news story?
Yeah.
A true crime news story?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Mine is, I'm obsessed, and I actually realize I need to stop talking about it because people who wouldn't like it are going to hate it the most.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
But, and you probably know about it. It's the first thing I wanted to say to you when I walked in here. On Halloween morning.
No.
Was it Halloween morning or the day before? I can't remember.
Is it the car accident guy?
Yes. Guys,
the most fucked up thing.
Guys, so it's 7 a.m. It's traffic. It's the five. Do you know if they were going north or south?
I think they were going north.
I was picturing north in my mind.
Yeah, because they're going towards the 134 and about to hit Colorado.
Oh, yes. Okay. So that's north.
So this is like 10 minutes from my house, our house right now.
Moments away from my house.
Yeah.
That's the freeway I'm on all the time. So,
Friday morning.
Guys.
On his way to work.
Rush hour. Well, nobody really knows because he was 20. Not to say that 20-year-olds can't have jobs, but many don't.
Yeah.
No, he was driving really fast and weaving in and out of traffic, driving on the shoulder.
He was like, a dick.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then he hit something, flipped his car, was shot out through the windshield.
And here's the craziest part.
Wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Wow,
what a fucking idiot.
Yeah, of course. So he was severed in half.
He was severed in half. I didn't know that part.
Yes. Oh, shit. Yeah.
Like,
he was severed in half, and the top half of his body landed on the Colorado exit sign off of the freeway.
What is that, 20 feet up?
Oh, I think higher than that.
How is that? How he flew and then landed on a fucking sign. Like on the platform of the sign.
Yes, like on the tiny walkway on the sign. So imagine then you're driving to work at the fucking Disney building off the 134.
You're like, oh, it's Friday. I'm going to be a slutty.
Should
whatever.
I take Colorado?
Yeah.
For Halloween. Slutty Minnie Mouse.
I'm going to be slutty Minnie Mouse today.
And then there's the top half of a guy's body hanging off the exit sign.
Waze is like, top half of body noted in the freeway ahead of. Thanks,
Ooh,
Waze.
Avoid that.
Beep, boop, up. Like, let's change routes.
I can't. I'm so obsessed with it. I had to call my sister, and she already knew it, of course.
She does.
She's like me. But she didn't know the severed thing either.
And then we
thought about whether or not it was the top or bottom half based on the accident.
Was his body still, bottom half still in the car?
That's what I imagine.
Are just screaming over the top of their lungs right now to like avoid listening to this.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop listening because come on.
I mean, why would, if you're not into this, then this is a good litmus test for what's happening.
I always like, have you ever seen a dead body?
No. I mean, funerals.
Yeah. Okay.
Not naturally the way I've always dreamed of as a child.
Like finding one?
Like in a ravine.
Oh, yeah. You're that girl who like, I found a body.
Yep. Oh. Then I'm the one getting hugged by cops, even though I didn't have nothing to do with it. But suddenly I'm the hero.
You get a free marathon, like what are those tinfoil blankets that they put over you? You get a free one.
I wasn't even cold. This is the best.
Oh, we're terrible people. This is like, we're just showing our humanity right now.
You know, here's the thing. It's probably anxiety.
Oh, it's definitely anxiety.
It's, I don't know, but also it's because I was raised very strictly Catholic where you weren't supposed to talk about stuff like this.
Uh-huh.
So like, I still remember the first time I opened a true crime book and saw they had a diagram of how John Wayne Gacy buried bodies in the house.
Oh, right.
And it was one of those moments where I was like, wah, 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 wah. Yeah. Like everything changed it's in my
real.
Brain.
It's all real.
Yeah.
I just remember, I feel like being raised in the 80s, like kids were fucking disappearing and being found dead, like on the regular.
Yes.
Every song I listened to in the 80s reminds me of like whatever dead kid was like missing that time.
Totally.
And actually my story is my current story is because of a kid in 1989, Jacob Wetterling. It was a cold case. He just disappeared. So this dude, like in a mask, it's his little brother and him and a friend riding bikes to get a video on a fucking afternoon in 1989. What movie were they getting? Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter Said. Like probably right. And I probably saw the same one.
Yeah.
This guy makes them has a gun and a mask on, makes them lay down in a ravine, asks them their ages, which is fucked up. And then has the other two run off into the woods. How bad does this kid feel that he left his brother behind?
Oh,
his
please.
Brother was never found, but this guy that...
That's terrible.
I know. And they found all the child porn in this guy's house, and they think one of the kids is the kid who disappeared. So they think he fucking... This did it. And my computer's not working. Okay. Yeah, they uncovered dozens of VHS tapes of fucking child porn. And of this guy, like, hiding in bushes and, like, following them on their paper routes and shit like that.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry, but was the kid that had disappeared in the child
They
porn?
Think so, yeah.
Oh,
I know.
God.
I know.
It's as horrible as, you know, the guy that kind of kicked it all off, for me, because I think it was in the San Francisco Bay Area, mm-hmm. that guy, John... What's his name? Whose son was taken? This is lame.
No, it's okay. We can edit this out anyways.
But it's he has.
Oh, John Walsh.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So tragic.
He was like kind of the
yes
first big one. The New York one was Ethan, that little boy that tried to walk to school one day. But do you know that John Walsh had to listen to tapes? They would find evidence, and then they would give it to him, and if he wanted to, he could listen to it, like, of kids being murdered so that he would know whether or not it was his son.
I'm gonna throw up.
Right?
Are you fucking kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, he listened to a whole tape that wasn't his son of another kid getting tortured and murdered.
Oh, my God.
It's the... I mean, I feel like it really is the worst. Child killers and rapists are... That's the devil on walking earth.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real.
It's so insane. I can't even I can't imagine, and I do it constantly, and I know that when I have kids, I'm going to be the fucking worst parent.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to have kids, too. They've made us have to have multiple kids, because one of them could get murdered, and then you don't have any children. When I hear, like, a crime thing, and I'm like, oh, it's their only child? That sucks. You should have had a backup.
Have at least four.
Because you just never know.
You need two normals, two alternates. Oh,
like, love one the best and like protect them the most, because like
although
they're always
but don't
die.
Show it, do not show
right.
it,
right?
Because there's people everywhere.
Then maybe one of those kids will become a killer.
Oh yeah, if you're too crazy about it, you actually cause it.
Sure,
that's so terrible.
I know.
And that poor you're right. I also love to think about the aftermath, like those two little boys' lives are ruined. I mean, they're just, that's it.
Yeah.
That's, you're done for.
Totally.
It reminds me of, remember the kid that got kidnapped and then he came back? I know my name is Kevin? Something
like
that.
One that wasn't really him?
No, it was him. He came back because the guy that had kidnapped him and kept him as like a sex slave for years got another little boy.
Right.
Remember that? And then he was like, forget it. And he finally, because he had, of course, been brainwashed that, like, I killed your parents.
But he lived, and he would go online and to his website of, like, find Kevin or whatever, and be like, you guys don't really want to find him, probably. Like, put message on the message board.
Oh.
Like, testing them almost. And I think that the guy even, like, let him out and, like, hang out with the neighborhood kids. Like,
yes,
he
that's
was
right.
so brainwashed.
He was so brainwashed, and he thought his family either was dead or didn't care. Or, like, it was awful. Stainer is the last name.
Yeah.
Because then
Good
his
job.
Brother, yeah. his brother became a serial killer.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
What?
Corey Stainer is the guy that killed, I mean, I guess that's not serial. They say serial killer is two or more people.
Right.
But
just like a viral video. Like, how do you know it's viral? There's no, like, number. It's the same with serial killers.
It's just like how many cats are there and how much do people like it.
Yeah.
he killed a woman and her daughter and her daughter's friend in Yosemite.
That was him?
Yes.
I remember that story. Those girls, oh, those poor...
Beheaded them and like, and then he made a statement like, I just need people to know I did not rape them before I killed them.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
I waited until after.
I mean, you know, thank you, but yeah.
You know what? It almost scares me. This is so silly, but it almost scares me more when they don't rape them because, like, if you're just like sexually fucked up and you want to get boned and then you kill someone to do that, but just to kill them,
Yeah.
Is also, oh my God, I'm not saying one is better than the other.
No, no, no. We can't choose.
We've
clearly
been vilified for this podcast. Do you know that?
This is the end of our careers as we know it.
It really might be. Like, if we think this is so casual and people are like, they were making fun of, they called a guy a fucking idiot who didn't put a seatbelt on in a car. I didn't mean to call him a fucking idiot.
Look,
wear your seatbelt.
That's what everyone's been saying. Every time I've told this, that story multiple times, yeah. And that's what everyone said.
But like, if he had a seatbelt on and he wasn't driving insane, then it would just be tragic and sad.
Exactly.
But because,
also,
yeah,
well, just LA car culture, it's hard to forgive.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You drive with those people that weave in and out and drive on the shoulder.
I've been driven off the road and a guy came to my window screaming at me. I have it on video, and the only reason I don't think he broke my window open and murdered me is because I was videotaping him.
Yeah, no, it's tough
people
here.
Are bananas.
It's tough here. So keep us in context. We're just, we're living the life.
We're trying. Listen, we both have really bad anxiety. I just want, everyone should know that we're like.
I hope that's clear.
I hope it's clear that we're clinically anxious people. I'm on all the meds. It doesn't work. This is me at like a baseline, like medicated. I'm doing okay anxiety.
I just don't leave my house almost ever.
Right. You have two ferocious dogs.
I have dogs that guard the door and smart. We just stay indoors. All the time.
It's a secret.
Everything's locked.
Windows are locked and closed. I don't know how you live. I shouldn't say this, actually.
How I live in that house?
On the first floor.
Well.
That's my huge fear of mine.
It's scary. But those dogs. That's why I got those dogs.
That's true.
I lived for a couple months without those dogs. And every night I would just lay in my bed. Like I would hear things.
Waiting.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Because also the quieter it is, the worse it is.
Yeah.
Because then you're just like, then your brain is telling you you're hearing things. It was nuts. And I was finally like, just get a look at a dog.
Yeah. Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a hero.
I always have a boyfriend. No, that's not why. Also, because I had a seizure when I was a kid once and I don't want to sleep alone anymore.
Oh, tell me about
also, it. Also, I love Vince, but also it's nice to not get murdered.
Also, I love Vince comes third. The murder is important though, because you have to live to be able to love him.
But here's the thing. What if he murders me?
I mean,
you gotta think about your husband.
Here's what I'm telling you. The book I write will do you proud.
Thank you so much.
I will be the Anne Rule. I'll be like, guys, I was there the whole time.
I knew
you would never have known he wanted to murder her.
Yeah.
Those are the best. Still Waters? You're like, that guy's the best.
Which one's Still Waters?
Just, I'm saying people that are like, you would have never known that they had murder in them.
That's the name of the book.
Still Waters Run Deep.
Yeah.
The Vince Averill story.
Okay, should we tell? Okay, so then we'll tell each other our favorite murders. And then, okay, here's what we want. If you guys stop listening during the murder part because you hate us, before you do that, listen to this. We're obsessed with people's, like, hometown murder, kidnapping, fucked up, crazy stories.
Yeah.
I have always asked people at bars and they stop talking to me because I want to know. They're like, what was the crazy thing that happened in your town?
They can't handle that level of conversation, it's better you're not talking to them.
I completely agree.
Get out.
And I don't have one, really, one of those stories.
Because you're from LA?
I'm from Orange County. Nothing bad happens there. No, there's some shit. So we want you to email us. You can email me at georgiahardstark@gmail.com. Your town story. But don't say, like, here's the town story and put a link in it. We want in your own voice, like, so this fucking thing happened and I was this years old and my mom wouldn't let me and then we used to go to the house and throw rocks at it.
Yep.
Here's what happened. Does that happen?
Totally.
Did you do that?
Yep.
So you have a... Well, let's see. Well, we can go then. Talk about polyclass.
Yeah. I mean, that one... Yeah, that one's rough because it's so famous and the town was so small.
That's crazy.
I'm from Petaluma where the little girl polyclass got taken out of her bedroom by a man while she was having a slumber party.
Like multiple people were there.
Yeah, multiple little girls.
Why did he do it then? Do we know?
Nobody knows. That there were lots of theories that the dad had like bad debts or was involved in drugs. But that's kind of course, small town gossip.
That's extreme, too.
It's crazy. And also, this guy... was a total like Charles Manson in and out of jail all his life.
So, keep them in jail. Come on. That's another problem I have.
It's simple.
It's so simple. Like, rapists get 3 to 5 years. Stop doing that.
That's so insane.
It's insane.
You know, we're going to do a lot of good on this one.
I feel like we're going to change laws. We're going to be advocates, victims advocates.
Mariska Hargitay is going to guest spot on it one time.
She's gonna deliver our speech. No, I don't know what I'm saying. She's going to give us our medal
at the podcast awards. Listen, there are lots of rape kits that are backlogged, thousands and thousands.
Let's get those rape kits tested.
Hey guys, let's get those rape kits.
There's like a loosely closed door, and on the other side of, and it's called a rape kit, and on the other side of that door is the person who did it,
and probably other bad things that you might want to know about.
Probably.
I mean, I don't want to sound this condescending, cops, but. In the privacy of George's home, I'm not afraid to.
We're just going to be murdered. We're going to be murdered by, and everyone's going to be like, those fucking idiots didn't wear a seatbelt on their podcast and deserved it. They're so stupid.
You know what? What a way to go, though. Half a torso up on the Colorado exit sign. Bring it on.
It's pretty badass.
What if you were driving and saw that? What if you saw that on your way to work?
You would go home.
Yeah, you would get to go home.
You'd get to go home that day.
Because I saw the picture. And the second I saw the picture for this news story, I was like, this is a prank. There's no way this is real.
But they had put someone had climbed up there and put a towel over.
Yeah, a sheet.
So hopefully there's no pictures before that. Are there?
The one I saw was from across the freeway. It's really far away. So you just see like the basic shape.
Oh
and
God.
Colors. You don't see anything specific at all.
Oh, what a bummer. I hope he was dead before I didn't realize the part of getting torn in half.
Yeah. But like sometimes they say if you get beheaded, you're still right. Conscious for like 7 seconds.
Fun.
I don't know.
Sounds cool.
Look, I'm scared of dying. So I love that. Yeah. All of this makes me feel better.
Me too. This is the root of it all, is that we're terrified of dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a bummer.
And dying in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like in a sneaky way. Like the other night there was, I wasn't talking to you on the phone, was I? There was one night where I was talking to somebody and I was like, it's raining. And they were like, what are you talking about? It's not going to rain for years and years. And I was like, no, and then there was a sound on the roof of my house and it was like, tick, 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 tick.
It's raining murderers.
And yes. I'll bring that up later. But anyway.
Oh my God.
It's a constant awareness.
Oh, I always know how I'm going to die in any room I'm in. In any situation, in any room I'm in, I'm aware of how everyone in that room, how we're all going to die. And so I am the one who's on edge and aware of it at all times.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
That's not healthy.
Or does it keep you alive?
That's true. You know how many weapons I have on my fucking keychain? Two. Like, I have two weapons.
What are they?
One is pepper spray.
Good.
And the other was one of that cool little cat... pointy ear cat thing that you hook your fingers through and you can poke and you stab people in the eye with the cat ears.
Oh, nice.
You seen this? It's fucking cool. It's like the cat ear defense keychain. Look it up. It's great.
Okay. I will.
Yeah.
I like that. I want, my roommate used to have pepper spray on her.
Do you want peppercorns with that motherfucker?
She had peppercorns on her keychain and I drove her car to the Burbank airport one time to pick her up. And this was pre-9/11. Mm-hmm. So I was walking to the gate to meet her. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm.
And I went through security, through the keychain in the bowl. The security guy looks at it and he's like, ma'am, can you step over here? And I'm like, what? And then he calls over like the official cop, Burbank police. And he's like, ma'am, this is a weapon. You have this Burbank, this is pepper spray. You know, this is illegal or whatever. And I got so angry because my roommate drove me crazy anyway. And she was totally the kind of person that would be like, I have an illegal weapon on my keychain and not tell you.
Because of you.
And so I just started yelling at this cop. I was like, it's my roommate's car. I was so mad. And it freaked him out. Like he kind of started laughing. And then he's like, all right. He's like, well, we're going to keep it. I'm like, good, keep it.
You know what I always forget that I carry around in my purse when I get to an airport is like fucking switchblade comb.
Oh shit.
And they're always like, you can't. I'm like, throw it away. I've like thrown away so many of those.
That's so rockabilly of you to think switchblade combs are funny.
I think they're funny, and I also love the fact that like I think the bottom of your purse is so disgusting and like crumbs of shit that like I don't want an open comb laying out there. So switch leaf comb. Like
that's smart. Listen, actually,
I don't like murderers and I don't like gross stuff.
I don't like crumbs.
I don't like cookie crumbs in my hair.
It's the whole range.
Just everything. Hey, yay. Should we go? Should we do my favorite murder?
Yes. You want to go first?
Sure. I think this is an obvious one. So like, yeah. What do we? Okay. My favorite murder.
This is your official voice.
I'm really excited.
Yeah. You
Here
know what?
Go.
Let's get real.
I mean, we're just gonna do every week our favorite murder, like a murder story we love.
Yeah.
And I had to start like a good one because it's new. I'm newly interested in this.
I was just going to say one thing. We know other people love this as much as we do. Yeah. So if we mess up information, don't be afraid to tell us, because I understand, like when I hear people talking about something, it drives me crazy if I know the real thing, because it is my passion.
Yeah.
But I also am very an inaccurate and messy person. So if I get it wrong and you want to tell us, please do. And we'll talk about it.
I appreciate that, because I'm so nervous about getting any of this wrong that I'm going to give less information than I like would think I have. And also tell us more information that you know, or like cool things that you know about.
Totally.
It. Maybe we'll, I think at the end of the episodes, we should just like read listener mail of like,
I think that's a great
weird
idea.
Shit. Well,
how about we have a whole segment that's like corrections.
How about we have like a supplement to our podcast of just corrections every week?
Because I, my passion is for the act and for specific stories within it, but like I'll always get the numbers wrong or the years wrong.
My passion is for the insanity of it and the fact that this thing stuff happens.
Yeah.
So tell us when we're wrong.
Yeah, just jump into
just
this.
Nicely though.
Yeah, you don't
we're
have
fragile.
To get on your high horse about it. Just calm down.
Yeah. Okay. Now that we've got that out of the way.
Yep.
My favorite murder is that of JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, a classic.
Which I used to think was stupid and boring until I listened to last podcast on the left's two-part in-depth discussion of it.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is way more fascinating than I remembered.
Yes. I love that podcast. You turned me on to it.
Yes, so good.
And you turned me on to it because of those episodes, which I immediately listened to. And those guys are so on it with all of their research.
Yeah. Very thorough. We are not.
We're not going to do that. So, no.
Everyone knows it. Basically, a six-year-old girl was murdered in her home in Boulder, Colorado in 1996. She was a beauty queen, which I think sullies the whole thing, because it's really just a little girl. And the beauty pageant stuff has nothing to do with it.
Right, except for you could stop right there and still have a real good horror story. Because
Definitely.
She's a six-year-old girl. They're babies.
Children.
I was telling you that I was looking at a picture of her and then remembered that she's six.
Yeah.
Like 1 year older than five. And she looks like she's 10.
She does.
It's dirty. The whole thing is the creepiest.
And she looks smarter than, she looks a little knowing.
Yes.
Which is fucked up.
Yeah.
And I feel like the beauty pageant thing was a big deal because it was never solved, this crime, which I don't think is true. I think her father killed her, which we'll get into.
Oh.
But the fact that it's like, well, maybe a child molester did it, because that, like, I feel like that kind of made it seem that way, that because she's this dressed up woman basically as a child, then maybe she was murdered by a child molester or fan or something, when really I think she was, it just happened to be her father who was that person,
like that became the red herring, that really is such a heart, you can't ignore a red herring like that,
because
it's the thing itself is so creepy.
Yeah.
It's like being in a cult, being in child pageants.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. It's like the Satan scare of the 80s when they thought everyone was, all these kids were Satanists.
Yeah.
But really, God and Satan don't exist, so that's impossible.
Wait, what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, you should have told me that before.
That's what I get killed for, is for saying that. Not for...
There's so many reasons to be killed.
This is what this podcast is going to be about. What are they going to get killed about?
Killed list.
So I think that the dad did it. There's like a lot of weird things about it. The ransom letter is 3 pages, which is the longest ransom letter in murder history. That's the thing that I'm gonna get corrected about probably, but
it's 2 pages.
And it was written on the notepad in the Ramsey house with their pen. So the killer did this and then wrote a 3-page ransom note, just chilled the fuck out and wrote a note.
Yeah.
Like, who would do that?
Right.
And she was already dead in the basement. from blunt force trauma. She had blunt force trauma to her head, which would have killed her, but she was then strangled, which is what ended up killing her for real. It's just so fucked
so
up.
So heavy.
And the ransom note is incredible.
Also,
and
the fact that there are children playing out in your alley right now so we can hear
her screaming.
Child.
I wonder if you can hear that in the background. I forgot about that.
It's the perfect background. No, it's perfect.
It's good. Okay.
It just was, I was like, why am I so uncomfortable right now? And I'm like, because there's a child screaming somewhere.
Oh, it's all the time. Wrong.
It's so upsetting.
Go listen to the, I know you hate this, but listen to the 911 call.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Is it Patsy?
It's Patsy freaking the fuck out. But the wording in her call, and if you like listen to it and listen to the interpretation, like she's saying everything wrong. She's
like
not
what?
Like she's not saying my daughter is missing. She's saying we have a kidnapping. Like she's not taking personal responsibility for what's for what is happening to her or her daughter.
Right.
She's kind of making it more generalized.
She's setting up a story. Sounds like.
Yeah. And there's all these interpretations people say about not asking for help. They're saying for her daughter, she's begging for someone to deal with it instead of asking for help for her daughter.
Yeah.
And then there's people say that one of the ways you know they're lying is because that they said that their son, who was 10, was asleep upstairs until after the police had got there. But in the background, with analysis with the 911 call, you can hear his voice.
Ooh.
Yeah. And there's just all these little things.
Oh, so it could be some family event took place.
Yeah.
And this was the cleanup version.
Well, another weird thing is that they found pineapple during the autopsy in her stomach that she had eaten before she died because it hadn't been digested. And there was a bowl of pineapple with a spoon in it on the table, and the son's fingerprints were on the bowl. But the parents said that they put her right to bed when they got home from a Christmas party that night. That's the thing. It happened on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Or Christmas. Yeah.
Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's why there was no good cops.
Right.
All the good cops were at home
having
Christmas.
All the good
Christmas.
Cops weren't living in Boulder, Colorado. Right. That's another reason I'm going to get killed right there. And then, the other weird thing in the ransom note, these people are billionaires.
Yeah.
And the killer asked for the ransom. They made it look like a kidnapping, which is why they were with the ransom note. They asked for $118,000 as the ransom.
Mm-hmm.
Which, poor people, that's a lot of money. It's not a lot of money, but also, that's a very specific amount, and it's also the amount that John Ramsey had been given as a Christmas bonus that year.
Do you think they were trying to set it up to make it look like someone knew that, and that's why it was such a specific number?
Yes.
Like, they were trying to lead people away from themselves.
Yes, definitely.
Wow.
Well, the whole note does that, too. And then, but the other weird thing, I think we talked about this, is that when they were doing sample handwritings of the mom and dad, so Patsy Ramsey, who's the mother, was how to rewrite the note. And instead of writing $118,000 numerically, she wrote out $118,000. Who the fuck does that? That's so stupid. Obviously, you're trying to mask something.
Unless she loves calligraphy and that's her thing.
Well, they basically, a bunch of handwriting analysis said that it's her handwriting.
Really?
Without a doubt.
Really?
Yeah. But then I've read other stuff that it's his as well. It's...
Even then, though, if it's some kind of in-family murder, whoever wrote the note doesn't mean that's the killer.
Exactly.
It's just that it's collusion.
Exactly.
Is that the right way to use that word?
Yeah.
Well, let us know.
Tell us. Correct us.
I'm going to throw out stuff like that.
Yeah,
because it feels good in my brain.
It felt good. When you said it, I was like, yeah, she's right.
That's collusion, goddammit. And they're like, that's actually a rare alcohol from Fiji.
I'll have the collusion on the rocks, please. I just love the story because I'm equally convinced that it's one of the parents, that it's both of the parents, that it's the son. But I don't think it's anyone outside the family.
Now, what's the deal with the son?
So the son was I think he was 10. He had hit her with a golf club in the past in the face, but it was an accident, supposedly. People all over I don't know if you know this, but people on the internet have theories and talk about them.
Oh, yeah?
So people's theories are that it was him. He hit her over the head with a golf club or something, which is because she has blunt force trauma from being hit with something.
Yeah.
So then maybe she was dying and one of the parents killed her and then set it up to make it look like a kidnapping and a murder so that the son wouldn't get in trouble for it.
But, talk about picking a favorite child.
Yeah.
That's a little
He never got, he didn't get spoken to by the police for a month. Mm. And when he did, it was like quick, nothing.
Right.
But he's so young. I don't know.
I remember reading that they, after the first night where the cops that had never been cops before showed up to not secure the scene,
right.
Then whatever they talked to them about that night, the Patsy and John, right, John?
John, yeah.
They also weren't interviewed for a month. They had so much time to rehearse what their story would
definitely
be and lock it all down.
I mean, just the fact that like they had searched the house multiple times over and finally were like sent John, the father, to go search the house just to give him something to do. And he goes into the secret wine room off the weird basement and happens to find her after 8 hours of the cops having been there.
Wow.
Grabs her body, takes the tape off of her mouth, and brings her upstairs, thus ruining any DNA evidence that you could have used.
Yeah.
And then Patsy throws herself on the body.
She did.
Yeah. So the DNA shit is just fucked.
I mean, that's all guilty.
Is it
hindsight?
Though, I kind of wonder, though, like,
I don't know. Would you? Well, hard to say.
It is.
I don't
say.
Think I would throw myself onto the body of a dead child.
No, no.
I mean,
let's
I don't
try
know.
It.
Hard to say.
Let's reenact this.
Let's have a child.
Okay.
And let's have it murdered.
6 years from now.
I just can't. The idea of like real quick problem solve. Okay, Junior messed up again. This guy.
Yeah.
Boys will be boys. I'm going to strangle her to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so much. It's such an oversolve.
It's a big from A to B. Plus, wouldn't you want your fucking psychopath kid who ruined your like prize daughter, like killed your prize daughter to get in trouble for that?
Right.
Some people don't. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, that's where that theory falls apart for me.
Yeah.
She is clearly the prize pony.
Right, which is why maybe he wanted to kill her.
Of course. But then, so I see them covering, like note-wise and bad 911 call-wise and all that.
Just not killing her.
But not the killing.
Maybe they didn't know she wasn't dead yet, so they put the over her. No, she was breathing. I don't know.
I mean, we're not going to solve it tonight.
Are we? Oh, I thought that's what this podcast was. I mean, let's not even talk about the underwear she had on, the weird underwear she had on, that they found DNA on it that didn't match the family.
It was not the brother's DNA?
No. That she was sexually assaulted, but they also said that it looked like it had been, you know, over a period of time. It wasn't even like that night she was sexually assaulted. It was like, this is something that's been happening for a long time.
I mean,
Dad.
See, I feel like that's not, going to be a pretty common denominator when you're talking about these child beauty queens.
Yeah, that some gross dude wants to fuck them.
Yes, what they have full makeup on and high heels shoes.
Have you watched? I watched like one episode. I was probably high, which was a problem.
Because yeah,
I
that's
get real
a bad idea.
Freaked out.
That's such a bad idea.
And these girl, I was. I scream at the TV when I'm high,
of course.
And I was just yelling about that they look like. They look like Playboy playmates.
They are supposed to. And also the thing you said earlier, which is the, you know, I think the reason she was such a champion, that knowing look, like she had that weird beyond her years wisdom.
Totally.
That's super creepy in children.
I don't even have that.
I mean, look, I have it, but I earned it.
I mean,
and I don't wear a weird tiara and hot pink lipstick.
We have it, but we're broken people.
Yes, it suits our faces.
Right. We earned it.
To be like, ooh, the things I've seen.
For years.
Look away.
Of anxiety and not trusting people.
Here's my terrible tattoo. This is my evidence.
Yeah,
that's, JonBenet is, you're right. I had that same thing where when it first happened, I was like, this is boring.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Like, we're only seeing this because she's this beautiful little girl and it's that weird.
Especially if you go online and look at a photo of her, just like there's like a photo of her opening a Christmas present that year. She's a little girl and you just forget that. And I think what's most fascinating to me about it is that it's never going to get solved.
Right.
The mom, Patsy's dead. Mm-hmm. Oh, do you know who the dad remarried? Do you know who John Ramsey remarried?
Yes, I do.
What's her name?
The
mom.
The
of...
girl who disappeared in... Oh, this is not good. This is grandma
someone
time.
Someone help us. In Cabo,
like,
what was her
how
name?
Dare
Jessica.
You?
what's her name?
Vandersloot is the guy that killed
her. Yeah, John, I'm putting in John Ramsey. This is real time, you guys.
Guys, this is how computing works. Has anyone seen Steve Jobs? What a film. I'm just killing time while you do that.
Anyways, the guy, Jordan Vandersloot, killed this sweet, innocent blonde.
I always want to say Casey.
Casey Anthony killed Casey Anthony. Are we wrong? Correct.
Are we? Where's the wrong part?
I don't know. Anyways, they're married now. That's fucked up.
I mean, so it's just two tragedy parents.
Yeah. I wonder what they talk about over dinner.
Oh God. You know what?
Coital.
There's a lot of wine. I'll tell you that. There's wine and pills for everybody.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
But here's a one thing that I thought was fascinating. So John Mark Carr is that guy that fake admitted to killing JonBenet and got expedited back to America because he was in the Philippines. And immediately my phone rang because my sister and Adrian are the know everything. And they think he got extradited because he was going to get brought up on child molestation charges in the Philippines, which is apparently like way, way worse. And the jail there is horrifying.
You know, my dad went to high school with a guy who was put in prison in Thailand because he says he was making a documentary about drug trade and had some drugs on him and they found it, which is like, come on, dude. That guy was there for like 20 something years. An absolutely insane person now.
Yes.
He lost his mind.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to prison.
You don't want to go to prison there. So they think that's why he did the fake confession.
So he can come back here.
But then, did we talk about this?
I don't know about this part.
Oh, he is in transition to become a woman now.
Right.
And he has started a child sex cult called the Immaculates. Where he uses other, like, younger, but not children, but, like, say, in the teens to find him children to be in this sex cult.
Can everyone chill the fuck? Like, why are you following this guy? Make your own sex cult. I don't know. I just don't get it. And also, like, isn't one of the rules of sex culting, like, it should be a secret? Yeah, the fact that this is known is, like, hilarious.
Yeah, he's not good at it.
Clearly.
And I think he's wanted by the FBI. And he's hard to catch because he looks a lot like a woman. Like, I think he's transitioning very well.
Maybe through this podcast we'll find him. Yeah. Because I didn't know that.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Let's do that.
I bet she's wearing a beret.
Then we'll be lauded instead of murdered. Lauded, murdered.
Whatever happens, it's going to be our destiny. We have to accept it.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
But I mean, that kind of thing is so infuriating because remember when that spiked up and it was like, they found the murderer.
What a dick. Yeah, because now he's just threw another wrench in there. Another reason it'll never be solved.
It'll never be solved and we won't know.
I want to read, Burke is the son's name. I want to read his tell-all when the dad dies. I bet once the dad dies, he'd be like, clearly my dad did it.
Yeah.
And actually, JonBenet and... I mean, John Ramsey and Patsy were set to be indicted.
For what?
For the child abuse that led to her murder. So I'm not saying specifically, like, so something like the reason she got hurt is because it was child abuse. Maybe they didn't mean to kill her. I don't know. And the judge or whoever in it, you know, all the corrupt motherfuckers, like, said no. And so
they got bought off.
Yeah.
Because he was insanely wealthy. It's not so just, like, rich people, but, like, a house you can get lost in rich.
A house you could murder a child and nobody knows about it and rich. That's the American dream.
I mean, isn't that what we all want at the end of the day?
Oh, my God, we're terrible
secret
people.
Secret wine room.
Okay, so that's my favorite, number one, first episode.
Guys, if you have any updates, seriously, the second you hear if this thing gets solved.
Please let us know.
I want to know so bad.
John Ramsey, contact us not at our homes.
But he's just living a normal life?
I think so.
With Vandersloot's
victim's
mother.
How much better of a person is John Walsh than John Ramsey?
Oh my, well, they might be opposites.
Well, one might be guilty and the other might be not.
Might have suffered the most anyone could suffer in this life.
Every time I see John Walsh on TV, I want to hug him.
I feel the same way, and I try to watch him, but it's difficult to watch.
I know.
I find his, like... He's so gunning for justice, but it's like, this is...
Honey.
You can't gun for enough justice.
How many Ambien does he take every night, do you think?
I mean...
All of them.
Every Ambien? He does so much sleep driving.
Oh, poor guy. Hey, Karen.
Yeah.
What's your favorite murder?
My favorite murder.
Can you write a ballad for this talk? Can you write like a jingle?
Totally. I'll do like kind of a hang 'em high like murder ballad about.
Yes.
That actually makes me. I really don't like those songs. Those like old Appalachian country songs.
I murdered a lady and the thing is,
I just had to kill her. It's always just like, well, she done me wrong. I just had to hang her high. Or it's like, fuck you. Yeah.
Sing about her parents and how bum they are.
Sing about someone rising up and shooting you in the back with a shotgun as you go to do it.
Right.
Because you're a jerk. Anyhow, it's not mine. Isn't about that. Mine is about a serial killer that some call the original Night Stalker and others call the East Area Rapist.
Yeah.
So this is a guy that was a rapist in Sacramento in the mid to late 70s. And I went to college in Sacramento.
Oh, my God.
And it's the strangest place. It's a floodplain, and it's the capital of the state. And it's very hot most of the time.
It's kind of like Wild West almost, right?
Yeah, it feels there's a real, like, it doesn't feel like California at all.
Yeah.
And there's almost no culture whatsoever. Wow. It's like, it's a lot of Taco Bells next to Shell stations over and over underneath power lines. And maybe that was just the experience I was having there because I went to college there and I flunked out of college a year and a half in. Failed terribly. But anytime I would drive around, I'd be like, this place is the worst. Like, everything just seemed scary and awful to me.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It's, and then the surrounding suburbs, like Citrus Heights and these kind of like outlying, and this area where this East Area Rapist was going nuts for years, has this very like sinister, it's like nice on the outside, but something weird's going on.
Everything
feeling.
Is beige.
Yes.
Everything beige. That's where I grew up in Orange County in Irvine. Beige. Yeah. And actually, I think he came to Irvine.
He did. Yeah. That was second half.
That's right.
So he started out as the East Area Rapist and he wasn't killing people yet. He was just raping women. He was breaking into houses. So he did the thing. He did the recon the day before. He would go, oftentimes people would say, we heard something on the roof didn't even look.
Oh my God.
That's why I brought that thing up earlier. he would also break into the houses and look around, do stuff in the houses while they weren't there. Sometimes he would hide rope under the couch cushions and have stuff ready.
So they're ready.
So he was all ready.
Oh my God. That made me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Just now.
He was sinister and then, so basically then he would break into their house the night of, turn the light on, the couple would be sleeping.
This what troubles me the most about this.
Is that he would do it to couples.
Yeah.
So he would flash a flashlight in their eyes, tell them to wake up. He'd have a gun on them. He'd have his ski mask. And then he would tell the woman to tie up the man.
Right.
Then he would go to the kitchen and get a stack of dishes and bring it back and stick it on the man's back. And then he would say to the man, if I hear these dishes move, I will kill both of you. Then he'd take the woman, usually, I think it was like half and half, but I think most of the time he would take the woman out into the front room and he would tie her up there and rape her while the husband could hear in the bedroom. Sometimes he would do it there. And then, so in the beginning, he was just raping the women and leaving both of them. And he also, while he was doing it, he would talk in a high-pitched voice to himself.
To himself?
Which is, just think of it. Just think of, so you're already in this like crazed panic.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is what I do with all these stories is I just, even for a second, try to
put yourself there.
Picture.
Oh, I'm there. I'm there.
So you're jolted out of sleep.
Yeah.
To this weird, like, what the fuck? And then it's like, someone that's talking like this. You know what I mean? Like, there was one thing I just read where he said he was repeating to himself, I'm going to kill them, I'm going to kill them, like chanting it to himself as he was tying
them
up.
Fuck, no.
So he seems, there's also a phone call with him. He left a victim a message a week later, and I have not listened to it.
Is it there? Can you listen?
You can listen to it.
I think, because whose wife just wrote a really amazing article about that?
Michelle McNamara. Yes. It's Patton Oswalt's wife.
She is such a fucking badass. She wrote the best article about it, and I'd never heard of it before.
Yeah, she has an amazing blog. We will look it up and tell you. It has the word murder in it. But if you put Michelle McNamara in the Google search and murder blog,
also, don't
it'll come
kill
up.
Me for call. I didn't mean to call her someone's wife. That's not who she is. She's more than that.
She's clearly so much more.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. But this is how you know her.
Yeah.
I knew about this serial killer because there's, you know, it's funny when you're like, when you follow this and then it's like, you see one story that's on Forensic Files or something, and then you see it and you piece it together where it's like, the later murders were reported first on shows like that, like 2020.
Yeah.
So it was like the murders in Goleta and Ventura and Dana Point.
Yeah.
And then separately, they would report on the East Area Rapist that was this ridiculous. He had over 50 rape victims and 10 murder victims, and they never caught him.
That's what's okay. So here's the thing: they never fuck. And you know, they said that maybe he was a construction worker, right?
Yeah, because he had really intimate knowledge of how these houses and their backyards were set up,
right?
And they did find a map once that was hand drawn. But when he would get caught, or anytime there was a close call, because he liked to mess around and like almost get caught or like do really dangerous things. So there would be a neighbor that would like flip on a light and be like, "Hey," and then they would watch him run and vault like backyard fences.
Holy
and stuff.
Shit.
Like, he was in crazy good shape.
Yeah.
And he was like, I think fancied himself a cat burglar, but then also clearly just was
murdering,
you know. Yeah. But the creepiest thing, my favorite creepy thing, is there were so many rapes that were happening in Sacramento that they had a town meeting, like a community meeting.
You know, and he was there, right?
Well, yeah, that's
tell me.
So somebody took a picture of it for the paper.
No.
So they have a group shot.
No.
Of this town meeting. And it's the cops saying, "This is what's happening. This is the MO. Look out for this. If you hear something, report it. Look, you know, all that kind of stuff. If you see weird people walking." Oh, because also there was never a car found anywhere near the scene. He either walked, jogged, rode a bike, or did something parked far away.
Yeah.
Because, and the couple times there was a guy walking a dog, but every time they described the guy as looking white and like fit and normal, like it's that kind of thing, where it's the person who can fit in and is totally fitting in and being like a weird murder cuttlefish, fitting in and then disappearing.
Yeah.
So, but my favorite thing is, so they had this town meeting, and at one point the cops are just saying, "This is happening," and people are really angry because it's so many.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in the 30s at this point.
That's insane.
And this man stands up and says, "I don't think you're telling us everything we need to know. I don't think this is even possible. How can a man break into another man's home and that man has his wife raped right in front of him and he does nothing? That's impossible." 2 weeks later, that man and his wife.
No.
Yes, his wife was raped by the East Area Rapist 2 weeks later.
No.
So they know for a fact he was there.
So there's a photo and is like everyone identified in it except for one creepy
No,
guy?
Because it's like such a large group photo. It's like the photographer was standing on the stage in like a high school auditorium.
Oh my
look.
God.
So there's just, it's really awesome because a lot of times on specials, they'll just take that time to scan that photo.
Yeah.
And every face in the photo looks guilty. Every face is the scariest thing you've ever seen.
That's
it's crazy.
So crazy. Yeah. There's like a sketch of him. And I'm like, and whose dad is that? Because that guy was young in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably someone's fucking dad now.
Yeah. Or like even grandpa.
Grandpa, some mom's boyfriend.
Horrifying.
And
the thing that he, like, his serious problem with couples.
Yeah.
And like needing to degrade the man and rape the woman. There's so much there.
Because that makes it so much harder. The crime's so much harder. So he's clearly specifically doing it for a reason.
Yeah. And he's doing it so much. Like, he just did it and kept on doing it. It was just a thing that was happening in Sacramento for years.
Yeah.
And then so it was like 76 is when he started, the summer of 76. And then I think that it went on for 2 years in Sacramento. Then he went to the East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere, I think he went down further, Visalia, because they think that's where he started. They called him the Visalia Ransacker.
Oh my God.
Which is like,
it's weird that they're both
central.
Called the Night Stalker, though.
I know. Because it was pre
Richard
I think
Ramirez.
It's because, yeah, it was, but it was like that's really what he was doing.
Yeah.
Because he would go and scope it out beforehand.
Right.
But he just wasn't famous. And he basically kind of disappeared. Then when those other, those same MO murders, rapes and murders were happening down here, that's when they finally put it together. And there was finally, like, they say that that case in the 70s is why they started developing the DNA database in California.
Oh.
Because they were going so crazy about not being able to find him.
So they could all link him together. Yeah, I think it happened. It happened in Irvine in like the early 80s, I think, when I lived there when I was a baby.
Oh.
Fuck.
And he's still around. He could potentially
still be still
murdering?
Is he still killing? Or do we just
not that anybody knows. Not in that way. Not like he, you know, he would tie people up with very special knots.
Yeah.
But Michelle McNamara wrote these amazing articles. If you want to know more about it, like, she's gone into it in such a detail.
Very.
It was in LA Magazine. Yeah. She had an article in LA Magazine, and she has a ton of stuff on her website.
I just want to know. I just want to know the answer. I think that, like, for all these things, and it's funny that we're both talking about murders that are unsolved.
Yeah.
Because I just want to know. I want the problem solved. Like, yes. I want what's the answer to the riddle?
And you want it, like, you want there to be a better policing system.
Right.
Where this doesn't happen so often.
Yeah. It's so easy to point to, like, well, what did they do wrong? And it's so easy to point to it, and you hope that that doesn't happen anymore, but it does.
Right. Because this was back in the 70s where they intentionally withheld information if there were, like, crossing counties. And it was all that weird police politics that I think they, you know, they know better now and they don't do anymore, but... God, it was like the dark ages.
It's just such a bummer too when like the answer doesn't make any sense. Like the Green River Killer, the answer is kind of boring.
Yes.
It's the guy who was, and it's like, God, that guy, like you want it to be someone like Ted Bundy was satisfying because it's like, he's this diabolical, handsome, intelligent man. It's like, okay, that's a worthy adversary.
Yes.
But when it's like some fucking like church guy who works in the church office and like is married and is just like really doesn't like prostitutes, like what a bummer.
But well, I think what's fascinating about the Green River Killer is his mom was really inappropriate with him.
Oh.
Sometimes I like it when you can trace a little bit. Like they, of course, we're all just trying to cobble together the why.
Yeah.
But like his is kind of fascinating.
Am I thinking of the BTK killer that was the church parking lot guy? I mean, the church. He worked in a church.
BTK.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of stuff. And the only reason he got caught is because he basically was like, come and get me.
Totally.
But... I mean, who knows? I mean, the thing with being a policeman is it's not your only case. It's not the only thing happening.
Yeah.
So if it'd be like, if it was happening in a vacuum and you could just only focus on that one thing, but other terrible things happen all day,
Especially when you're in a town that's like, you know, when you're in Chicago or when you're in fucking Detroit, like
it's common.
You have 20 minutes to put into it. If you could quit your life right now and become a true crime detective with all the funding you wanted and all the research stuff, would you do it?
Yes.
Me too.
Absolutely.
I think that, I want to be a detective.
Here's my problem. I feel as strongly as I love these kinds of fascinating, holy shit, what are these monsters? Murders like gang murder or mafia shit or a husband killed his wife because she was cheating on him.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do
Me neither.
With it.
So boring.
It's so boring, but it's so like the failure of humanity, the weakness of humanity.
And there's no
greed.
Why. It's obvious why.
Yeah.
There's no blip. It's that you were raised in a shitty neighborhood and here's what everyone does then, or like this is what
desperation.
People do. Yeah, desperation. Or like you're a man with normal man things and this is how you have an anger problem. It's not like not a blip.
It's not basically Seven, which is like if I could watch that movie for the first
Me
time.
Too.
Right?
Such a good movie.
It's a beautiful movie.
It really is. That's fun. Are we psychopaths?
Are we the worst people?
Quick question. And answer this in an email. Like, you have 250 words, double spaced. Are we monsters?
Double spaced. You know what? If you have to say more, you can tighten up those spaces if you need. If you need.
Sure, sure. And if you just want 140 characters, you can do that.
Whatever you need.
Just tweet at us.
It's about you.
So this is the part of our podcast where we want to hear your stories.
You tell us what horrible things you love.
We want to hear about your like crazy fucked up crime story from your town or that you encountered or that happened to you. And we want to hear in your own words. Right?
Be honest.
Email them to Georgia Hardstark. If you spell that wrong, it's your own damn fault. At Gmail. And then we'll also record other people that we're friends with telling their stories too.
Because everybody has a story about some fucked up thing that happened in their town.
Totally.
That they're kind of obsessed with. And it doesn't have to be murder.
No. Anything.
Just be a creepy, what's creepy?
Yeah. A fucked up story.
Yeah.
That you can't tell certain people at parties.
Yeah, because certain people will walk away with like a weird white face and right. rolling their eyes at you.
This is a safe space for you.
Yeah.
Dustin, we're going to have our inaugural story be our awesome podcast producer, the creator and runner of Feral Audio, who's just such a fucking gem, Dustin Martian.
Woo!
Here, Dustin.
Okay. my murder story is when I was 16, like, I was, like, a really juvenile delinquent. I was, like, in a charter school and stuff, and I was selling LSD and just getting into trouble, like, constantly. And I was also I was downloading, like, tons of, this is, like, in the height of Napster and all that stuff, so I was just downloading tons of stuff, and they were randomly, like, arresting people for, like, downloading stuff. So I came home from school one day, and I was walking up to my house, and my dad's house is on the corner, like, the absolute corner of an intersection, and I walk up, and there's, like, a dozen SWAT guys, full riot gear, guns, and they're, like, up against the garage, like, heading around the corner, and I'm like, I'm fucked. I'm fucked. I have acid in my pocket. I have a bunch of acid in my room. I'm like, fucked. I'm fucked. And so I just walk up, and it's, like, the color drained from my face, and I go inside, and they're, like, my dad's making them coffee, and they're, like, cops. They're, like, looking at me, and I'm like this goth kid, and they're gonna be... So I went downstairs and, like, hid my acid like crazy, and then it turns out two doors down, their neighbor was holding his wife and his kids hostage with a shotgun, and for whatever reason, and then ended up, after like hours and hours and hours of it, like shooting the wife and himself in front of the kids.
Oh.
And that was like two doors down, like our neighbor that you'd see fucking in his yard. I didn't know them personally, but you'd see them, like their kids and them in the yard.
What city was this?
It's a suburb of Madison called Stoughton, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And you were like, fuck it, acid's nothing now. Acid and Napster.
That's when he threw away all of his drugs.
Yeah.
And started and he turned to the Lord.
Anew.
Fuck, that's heavy.
That's two doors down. I think I once let a child molester into my house when I was a kid.
What?
Let's talk about that another time.
Wait, that's such a good cliffhanger.
I know.
Oh, just so everyone knows, Michelle McNamara's website is called truecrimediary.com. It's awesome. She's been following this stuff for years. She's a passionate devotee who's also a great writer.
Maybe we can have a story from her one day.
Yeah, that'd be well, because that's how she started. There was a girl got murdered in her town that was like at her school, and I read all about how she got into it, and it's that same thing.
That is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Guys, this was the first one.
You guys, our very first favorite murder.
But not the last.
No. We're Karen Kilgariff, Georgia Hardstark. You can probably find us on the internet.
Yeah.
And keep listening and go to feralaudio.com and listen to all their other cool podcasts. And yay.
And yay for us.
Yay. Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.